Okay, let's go to 1 John chapter 3. Now, throughout 1 John, the apostle is declaring the manifest difference. The manifest difference, the open, clear, obvious difference between the children of God and the children of the devil. That's what his purpose is. When something is manifest, it's open, it's clear, it's obvious, it's unmistakable. For example, Scripture says Christ was manifested. We're going to see that tonight in 1 John 3. Christ was manifested. He came openly, clearly, for all to see. It was unmistakable. God was manifest in the flesh. And John here is declaring the manifest difference between the children of God and the children of the devil. Look back at 1 John 2 and verse 19. He said of the children of the devil, Antichrist, they went out from us. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. He said in another place, the Apostle Paul said, there must needs be heresies, that they which are approved may be made manifest. Manifest. Look at 1 John 3 and verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. The children of God do righteousness. The children of God do righteousness. What does John mean by that when he says, doeth righteousness? Well, in the context of this epistle, John means we abide in Christ. We abide in Christ and we love our brethren. We abide in Him and we love our brethren. That's doing righteousness. The child of the devil doeth not righteousness, neither loveth his brother. The child of the devil commits the sin. He commits what John calls the sin unto death. It's apostasy. Turn to 1 John 5 and look at verse 16. He says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. There is a sin unto death. There's no definite article in the Greek. It really should read, there is sin unto death. It's the sin. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. The sin unto death is apostasy, by which a sinner proves himself to be a child of the devil. Apostasy is renouncing the truth. It's to blaspheme the Holy Ghost, deny the Word of God, reject the Word of God, forsake Christ, forsake the truth of the gospel, forsake assembling with God's saints under the preaching of the truth. The person who willfully forsakes Christ and continues to the end, rejecting Christ, proves himself to be a reprobate. He proves himself to be apostate, a reprobate. He's committed the sin unto death. Now, throughout this epistle, and in the context we're going to see tonight, John is comforting believers. He's comforting believers. If you read the last few verses, he says, I'm writing this to you that know and believe the gospel so that you know and that you believe. You continue in him. He's comforting us by assuring every believer that because we've been born of God through the righteousness of Christ, we will never be able to apostatize. We'll never be able to reject Christ and leave the gospel. We're kept by the power of God unto salvation. He will not allow one of His people to fall away. And that's a great comfort. And that's what John's doing. Now I want to go back. We've been away from John for a little while. I want to go back and just show you a couple of places so you can see this is the context. Go back to chapter 1 and verse 5. He talked about having seen Christ and how Christ was manifest, the Word of life. And this is the gospel we preach. And he says in verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, if we say that we believe on Christ, but we don't abide in Christ, we apostatize, we reject Christ, we leave Christ, and we walk in darkness. He says, we lie, and we do not the truth. And we saw what Christ said doing the truth is. It's what John is referring to as doing righteousness. Christ said, he that does the truth comes to the light. He comes to Christ, that all his deeds might be made manifest, that they might be openly manifest, that they're all worked in God. They're all worked by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's doing truth. He says here, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we walk in lies, we apostatize and we renounce the truth for lies, we lie and we do not the truth. He says, but if we walk in the light, if we say we have fellowship, we profess faith in Christ, and we abide in Christ, we continue in Christ to the end, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. This is what He opened the letter with. This is what He talks about all the way through it. Go to 1 John chapter 2 and look at verse 3. Hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He's going to tell us in chapter 3, we've seen this. He says this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. That's His commandment. We believe on Christ and we love one another. And this is how we know Him. Everybody's always talking about evidences. They want evidences. This is it. We believe Christ. We believe Christ. We trust Him. We abide in Him. And when you abide in Christ and you continue in Christ, another time we're going to see that's really what it is to love our brethren. And he says here, this is how we know if we keep His commandment. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, and does not believe on Christ, He doeth not righteousness. He doesn't abide in Christ. Neither loves his brethren. He says he's a liar and the truth is not in him. Now, here's our text. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. And we looked at these verses before, but I want to go back again and look out. This is so important. There's so much been said on this. And I believe God has finally given me some light on this. And it's just too good not to go over it again. And I'll hope to show you a few more things we didn't see before. But 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin, Young's literal translation says, everyone who is doing the sin. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that Christ was manifested to take away our sins, all our sins. And in Him is no sin. There is no sin in Christ. Now, next, he's going to be speaking here of the whole context of this epistle. What he's been talking about all through the epistle. So I want to do something here. I'm going to replace the word sinneth with the word apostatize. And I want you to see that this is what he's talking about. Look here, first verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him apostatizes not. Whosoever apostatizes hath not seen him, neither known him. Where he says committeth sin, you could put committeth sin unto death. Because that's what John, we just saw, there's a sin unto death. He's talking about forsaking Christ. But we're just going to put apostatize here. He says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness, he that abideth in Christ is righteous, even as Christ is righteous. He that apostatizes, he that commits the sin unto death is of the devil. For the devil is an apostate from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not apostatize. For Christ's seed remaineth in him, and he cannot apostatize, because he's born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. This is the manifest difference between the children of God and the children of the devil. Whosoever apostatizes is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. First of all, to apostatize is to sin in two ways. Is to sin in two ways. Look in verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Now, John said over in chapter 5, verse 17, I just read it. He said, all unrighteousness is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. Everyone that's taught of God knows that committing sin is transgression of the law. Don't you know that? I know that. I know that committing sin is transgression of the law. Paul said in Ephesians 2, the Gentile who never had the law, who do the things that are contained in the law, they're a law unto themselves. They bear witness. They have the law written on their conscience. They know sin is a transgression of the law. They're a law unto themselves. We all know that. We all know that. So why does John use this word also? Look there again. He says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Why does he say the word also? Let's remember this context. Go back to verse 29. 1 John 2:29. If you know Christ is righteous, and mark that word know right there. If you know Christ is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness, everybody that abides in Christ is born of Him. Do you remember how knowing Christ is righteous, we know that a person that believes on Christ is born of Him. Do you remember how we know? It's because it's through the righteousness of Christ that the Spirit of adoption is given to us and we're born again. Go back over to Galatians 4. Let's see that again. Galatians chapter 4. And look at verse 4. He said there, When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, to purchase us out from under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Remember He said, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things? God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. And now we cry, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So, knowing Christ is righteous, knowing that we're given the spirit of adoption through His righteousness, we know that everyone that abides in Christ, everybody that believes on Him and abides in Him, continues in Him, is born of Him. So John says now in chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, behold. Now I went back and looked that word up. And I found something out that I didn't know. That word behold is different from where the word is used in other places. That word behold is translated from a word that means knowing. It means knowing. He's saying here, knowing what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. It's the same word that's back there in verse 29 when he says, if you know that He's righteous. If you know that Christ came and redeemed us from under the law, and that's how we're born of God, through His righteousness. He says, then you know what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. He's saying, you know it took God sending His own Son. You know it took Christ being made flesh. It took Christ being made under the law. It took Christ being made a curse for us to redeem us from the curse of the law that we might receive the adoption of sons. And He says that we know by Christ purifying us and by giving us this good hope, we know that when He comes, we're going to see Him as He is, and we're going to be like Him. And He says, knowing this, Christ makes the believer purify himself. And we saw what that meant. It means Christ makes the believer come out from darkness and come out from lies and come to Christ the light. And abide in Christ the light and stay in Christ the light. Continue in Him together with His people. And then John says this now. This comes next. Whosoever committeth sin. And here's what, I won't be dogmatic on this, but this is what I'm convinced He's saying. Whosoever goes out from us back to that darkness of life. In other words, whosoever commits the sin unto death, whoever apostatizes, he says, he transgresseth also the law. For apostasy is the transgression of the law. He's saying the apostate transgresses the law two ways. Two ways. Or he transgresses in two ways. Let me replay. He transgresses in two ways. One, he transgresses against Christ and against God His Father. He showed us that. Look back at chapter 2 and verse 22. He said, who's a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, watch this, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Go to John 5. Let's hear what Christ had to say about that. John chapter 5. I'm not sure if we're coming back here or not, but hold your place in John. We might come back to it. But John 5, verse 22. He said, the Father judgeth no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. When we hear Christ's word, he said, whoever hears my word, when we hear Christ's word, what do we hear Christ say? He said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sinned. He said it in John 6, one chapter over. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. So when we hear Christ's word and we believe on him, we believe on the Father who sent Him. When you honor the Son, you honor the Father. When you believe on Christ and honor the Son, you honor the Father who sent Him. You believe the Father who sent Him. And He says, 1 John 2, go back there, 1 John 2:23. So He says, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Look at 2 John. Go to John's second epistle. Look at verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth, that's the same word as in our text. Remember, He says He transgresses also the law. Well, here He's talking about transgressing God the Father and God the Son. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And this is what we're talking about. The difference between a child of the devil and a child of God. The child of God's going to abide in the doctrine. He's going to honor the Son and thereby honor the Father. He has both the Son and the Father. But whoever doesn't abide in the doctrine, he dishonors the Son. And when you dishonor the Son, you dishonor the Father. So first of all, the apostate who rejects the gospel, rejects Christ, he transgresses against God the Father and against Christ His Son. And then in our text, John adds this. 1 John 3:4, he says, and whosoever apostatizes transgresses also the law. See, he had just shown us in chapter 2 that if you transgress against the Son, you're transgressing against the Father. And then in chapter 3, now he says, and whosoever apostatizes transgresses also the law. Now let me read Young's literal translation to you. What Young's did is instead of translating it like we have it, he just translated the words literally as they are from the original. Now let me give this to you. This is verse 4. Everyone who is doing the sin, the lawlessness also he doth do. And the sin is the lawlessness. The sin unto death. The sin of rejecting Christ is the lawlessness. It's transgressing the law. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to who? To everyone that believeth. To everyone that believeth. That means to everyone that believes on Christ and abides in Christ. Abiding in Christ means you continue trusting Christ to the end. You persevere in faith to the end. See, through faith in Christ, we establish the whole law. Because Christ established it for the believer. That's what Paul told us in Romans 3. We don't abolish the law through faith. Through faith is the only way we establish the law. Because Christ established it for us. So the man who rejects Christ, he has to abide under the curse of the law. He's transgressed the whole law. He doesn't have Christ our righteousness who established the law for it. So he's left under the curse. And he transgresses the whole law. Isn't that what Christ said? He that believeth on Him is not condemned. He that believes on Christ is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. The law is what's going to condemn him. And so the man who rejects Christ, he not only transgresses against God the Son and God the Father, he also transgresses against the whole law. He transgresses against the whole law. Paul said, I testify again to every man that's circumcised. He's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are that are justified by law, you're fallen from grace. Now understand what this means. The man who professes to be in Christ, to have fellowship with Christ, and yet he renounces the believer's rule of life, which is faith in Christ, which works by love. That's our rule of life. Faith in Christ, which works not by law, but by the constraint of Christ's love for us. A man who rejects that and trusts his own works, he goes back to the law, and he looks to his own works, and he trusts his own works. He condemns God's saints as being antinomians. He calls us antinomians. But our text says here, he's antichrist and also anti-law. He's antichrist and anti-law. He's lawless. And this goes for all who reject Christ, for all who, if a man doesn't, if he just walks away from religion altogether, he's guilty of transgressing against the Father and the Son, and also transgressing the whole law of God. That's the first thing about apostasy. Now, secondly, Christ makes His people know. He makes us know that He took away our sin. He took it all away. Look here, 1 John 3:5. And ye know, that's what He told us in chapter 2, you have an unction from Christ the Holy One, and you know all things. He says, and you know that Christ was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Whose sins did Christ come to take away? Read it again. Christ was manifested to take away our sins. Who's He talking about? He's talking about believers. He's talking about us who believe on Christ and abide in Christ to the end. He's talking about God's elect. He's talking about Christ's sheep. All who have been born of God to believe on Christ, and all who shall be born of God. The unction He's given us, brethren, has made us know Christ accomplished what He came to accomplish. He came to put away sins, and He put away sin. Christ is the one typified in the scapegoat over in the law on the Day of Atonement. That high priest put his hands on the head of that scapegoat, typifying the sins of Israel being transferred to that scapegoat. It was a picture. The Lord laid on Christ the iniquity of all His people, and Christ took our sins away to a land not inhabited when He died under the law for His people, for the transgressions of His people. Isaiah 53:6 says, the Lord had laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Verse 8 says, He was cut off out of the land of the living. Remember where the scapegoat went? He went to a land not inhabited. Christ bore the sins of His people. He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of My people was He stricken. That's how He took our sins away. He took the sins of His people away. And therefore, John says here, in Christ is no sin. In Christ is no sin. I want everybody to hear me. I want everybody that hears this to hear what I'm saying. No sin was in Christ at His birth, at His conception, at His birth. No sin was in Christ. No sin was in Christ all the days He walked this earth under the law. No sin was in Christ when He was tempted of the devil. No sin. No sin was in Christ when He was charged falsely by that kangaroo court they brought Him before. No sin was in Christ. And even when He bore the sin of His people, so real that He owned them and called them in the Psalms, mine iniquity, and the law looked upon them as His sins. Even then, in Christ Himself, was no sin. No sin. But here's what John's talking about. What John is talking about is, since Christ took away the sins of His people, all who are brought to abide in Christ, there is no sin. We have no sin. There is no sin. We're without sin. Hebrews 9:28 says, Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for Him, that's who we're talking about, those who abide in Christ to the end, unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. There's no sin for the believer in Christ. Now, thirdly, you who abide in Christ, because this is so, you cannot apostatize because Christ made us righteous, and through His righteousness, we're born of Him. Look at verse 6. Whosoever abideth in Christ sinneth not, and whosoever apostatizes hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Whosoever apostatizes hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Christ said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Meaning, you can't see Christ. Because Nicodemus came saying, Master, we know You are a teacher come from God. And Christ said, except you be born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. And until we're born again, we can't see Christ and we can't know Christ. But He says here, whosoever abideth in Christ, the reason we abide in Christ is we have been born again. We have been born again. We've seen Him and we've known Him by faith. You go through this epistle and you count how many times John says, you know, you know, you know. We know all things. We know this gospel is so. We know that in Christ we have no sin, because He accomplished what He came to do. We know this. We've seen Him by faith. We know Him by faith. And so when you see Him and you know Him, you can't leave Him. We cannot not abide in Christ. We cannot cease abiding in Christ. We cannot apostatize from Christ. We cannot do it. Now, indeed, in Christ we have no sin of any kind, and indeed in Christ we fulfill the law, and we cannot transgress God's law because Christ fulfilled it. But by this unction abiding in us, we cannot apostatize from Christ. We cannot stop abiding in Him. Go back and look at 1 John 2:27. Look at that last part. He says, as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him. You see that? John is telling us here, he's contrasting this with the person who apostatizes. Look at the next thing he says there back in our text. Whosoever apostatizes has not seen Him, neither known Him. He's not been made righteous by Christ. He's not been sent the Spirit of God's Son into his heart crying, Abba, Father. He's not been born of God. So he has not seen Christ and he's not known Christ other than maybe just a head knowledge that he got from learning some doctrine. You can learn doctrine. You can learn doctrine just like you can learn the Ten Commandments. And a man who comes in, a natural man comes in and he hears that you're not under the law, we're under grace. And he says, well, 5 points is a lot easier to remember than the Ten Commandments. That's five less. Anybody in his right mind wouldn't say, well, I'll go with that. But if he hadn't been born of God, he don't know Christ and he hasn't seen Christ. And he can't make himself abide. He can't. Cannot. John's writing this concerning them that seduce you. He's writing that, you remember in chapter 2, he said, I'm writing these things concerning them that seduce you, that would seduce you away from Christ. And the devil uses so many things. Paul said, I'm afraid that just like he beguiled, tricked Eve, he's going to beguile you from the simplicity that's in Christ, the singleness that's in Christ, looking to Christ only. And that's what he does. He uses a lot of different things to try to seduce people away from Christ. But he says here, again, let no man deceive you. Look at verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness, he that abideth in Christ, is righteous even as Christ is righteous. Now, indeed, this is how this is normally interpreted. And I'll say this because it's true. Those who abide in Christ and those in whom Christ abide, Romans 6 says, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, you're under grace. He's taken reign in our heart, and we're no longer the servants of sin. We're the servants of righteousness. There's going to be a change in a believer. He's not going to continue living in sin and living in rebellion and darkness like he did when he was before he knew Christ. Now that's just fact. That's just fact. But what he's talking about here is doing righteousness, abiding in Christ, believing on Christ, and continuing in Christ. That's what he's talking about here. And Christ called it doing truth. It's only through faith in Christ that we are righteous as Christ is righteous. It's not through any works we do. It's only through faith in Christ, abiding in Christ, that we're righteous as Christ is righteous. And he's telling us here there's a lot of deceivers. There's a lot of deceivers declaring to sinners you have to do something else in addition to Christ. That's not so, brethren. We don't have to add anything to Christ. Remember they came, and here was these believers had been brought to faith in Christ, and they came down and said, now, that's fine, but except you be circumcised and keep the law, you can't be saved. No. No. He that believes on Christ, he that abides in Christ, he that doeth righteousness, that all means the same thing. It means staying on Christ. He that believes on Christ and abides in Christ, he's righteous even as Christ is righteous. There's nothing to add to Christ. Don't ever add anything to Christ. Nothing. We see in verse 8, doing righteousness means abiding in Christ because John contrasts it with the child of the devil. And he's like his father. Look here, verse 8. He that apostatizes is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. What does he mean by the devil sinneth from the beginning? It means he's an apostate. Go to John 8. John chapter 8. I'm just going to read this and I might just close here because I don't think I'm going to go further. John 8 verse 44. Look at this. This is Christ speaking. He says to the Pharisees, and you wouldn't get a people more holy acting than the Pharisees. So if John was talking about practicing righteousness, then he wouldn't be talking. These people right here would have been counted in that group who were doing righteousness, if that's what doing righteousness means. But Christ said this to the Pharisees. Look what he said to them. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and look at those next words, and abode not in the truth. That's what John's been talking about. The child of God, who has God for his father, we're going to abide in the truth. We're going to abide in Christ. That's what doing righteousness is. But a child of the devil, he's going to do what his father did. The devil abode not in the truth. He abode not in the truth. He says there, there's no truth in him. He speaks a lie. He speaks of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Look at verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. You see that? That shows you he's contrasting abiding in Christ with not abiding in Christ. That's what he means. Doing righteousness is abiding in Christ. Doing not righteousness is apostatizing, renouncing Christ, rejecting him for lies or for nothing. Whatever. But it's not abiding in Christ. I think I'm just going to stop right there and we'll look at the rest of this next time. Yeah, we'll come back and look at this because I got too much here. I don't want to rush through it. So brethren, here's the point. Now, let me leave you with this. People want to worry about assurance and they want to worry about evidences. And every time I've ever heard anybody looking for some assurance from evidence, it's everything, anything and everything except faith in Christ. It's always something they did or not did. And what usually has people worried and concerned that they're not Christ is some sin in their past. Listen to me. The one evidence that we're children of God is faith in Christ. That's it. And you know, if you have this unction, you know that. You know that it's only through the righteousness of Christ. It's only through Christ's righteousness that we have this unction and been born of God. And so you know, he that believes on Christ, he's born of God and he's been made righteous by Christ. And you that have been made righteous by Christ and born of him cannot fall away. You cannot apostatize. You cannot sin that unpardonable sin. You can't reject Christ. I was talking to Brother Adam about this Sunday. When I look back on my life, I can't help but say, how could I have been a child of God? How could I have been a child of God and did that or said that or thought that? And I don't have to go very far back. It's not like you got to go back years and years and years. I can go back to this morning. How could I be a child of God and that's all we see in ourselves? But this one thing that has been a consistent thing since God called me, I haven't been able to stop believing on Him. And that is the difference between a child of God and a child of the devil. You just can't stop believing Christ. And you're not going to. You're just not going to. I pray that's a comfort to you. I want you to be comforted. And I hope that's a comfort to you. We'll look at the rest of that, Lord willing, next time. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you that in Christ is no sin. We're thankful, Lord, that you don't see things the way we see things. How thankful we are that you've kept us and you're going to keep us because you've made us righteous in your Son. You've given us the Spirit of your Son. Lord, make us to look nowhere but to Christ only. Keep us looking to Him only. Don't let us look to our faith even for the assurance. Keep us looking to Christ only. Lord, be with those that don't have assurance. Be with those that need this assurance, need this comfort. Lord, if they're not here tonight, we pray you get this message to them and cause them to hear it. Cause them to look to your Son and rest in Him. Turn us from ourselves to Him. Let no deceiver deceive us. Make us to know, Lord, we're righteous even as Christ is righteous. We thank you for Him. We thank you for that righteousness. Forgive us, Lord, our doubting and for looking in the wrong direction. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.